The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he was coming up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ on this morning when snow and ice was promised and we have sunshine. Exactly. I know. It's beautiful out there. I wanted more snow to play in. It's so crazy, Zoe. I know. But friends, this morning I want to ask you a question because, you know, Pastor Dan loves questions. Where do you find the source of your identity? When you conceptualize above yourself, what is that core thing that you hold on to say, this is who I am, this is how I live, this is how I'm expressed? Let me put it to you differently. When you go to a gathering of people and you meet somebody for the first time, you shake their hand and say, Hi, my name is Dan, and they say their name is whatever, and they invariably ask you, and what is it that you do? Does that happen still? Right? And you tell them, oh, I'm a lawyer, I'm a doctor, I'm an architect, I serve food, I mean construction. Invariably, when I tell people I'm a pastor, they use different words that they didn't want to use before. But we tell people, hi, my name is Bob, and I'm a what? My name is Dan, and I'm a pastor. It's like that we somehow have conflated the idea of what we do in our life for our work defines who we are. So that when we meet somebody, we tell them, well, I'm a garbage man, that's what I do. Or I'm a mechanic, or I'm a lawyer, or I'm a doctor, or I'm a whatever. And we let that thing that we do become the source of our identity. So that when people see you, they say, oh, that's Bob, he's a doctor. Oh, that's someone, they work at Maya. Whatever, right? Where do you find the source of your identity? For many of us, it's in the thing that we do. For other people, it's in the thing that you did. I was a pilot. I was a teacher. I was a speaker. I used to be an entrepreneur. For some people, their source of their identity comes from something in the past that they did. For other people, it is something that was done to them or that they experienced. My parents left me. My brother died. My family fell apart. I experienced that pain, that tragedy that defines who I am. And then there's those other voices that tell us who we are. Those people around you that tell you this is who you are because this is who we need you to be for whatever reason. Good, bad, or indifference. Well, people give you an identity that might not be the one you want. But eventually you internalize it and accept that that's who you are. And then there's another voice in our lives. I like to call it the hypercritical voice that lives deep inside your brain, that looks at everything you do through that hypercritical lens and says, oh, look how you screwed that one up. Oh, you're not smart enough, you're not good enough, you definitely messed that up over there. How dare you say that thing to that person? You messed up the entirety of the world. You are a failure and terrible. Maybe you have that voice in your brain too. All of these different things, aspects of our lives, are vying to help us define who we are as a person, the source of your identity. It's important to think about that. Where does that come from? What could it be? What is it? And on this Sunday morning, we gather to hear about Jesus when he went to a river and was immersed in the water by his cousin and came forth. And a voice from heaven spoke. And as the first century readers and first century hearers of this story would have heard it, they would have been reminded of two bodies of water. First, that same Jordan River, where the people of Israel, after they had wandered through the desert for years upon years upon years, walked across that river into the promise that God had given them. They walked through that water and embraced the identity God had given them. And years before, there was a sea that was opened, and they passed through on dry land that helped them define who they were as a people. Remember, these stories are about identity. When Jesus comes out of that water, there's a voice from heaven that says very publicly to everybody there what the identity of Jesus is. That he is God's Son, God's beloved Son, with whom he is well pleased. For the whole world to hear, it is spoken that day when Jesus comes up out of that water, that this is who he is. But note, what has Jesus done to deserve this identity, to be loved by God, to be God's beloved child with whom God is well pleased? In the Gospels to this point, Jesus has done nothing. He was born, and then he came to the river, and he was baptized. And everything Jesus does for the rest of his life on the planet, for the rest of his existence within each and every one of us, flows from his identity that he is a beloved child of God with whom God is well pleased. How he engages people, how he walks with the hurting and the hungry, how he speaks back to those in power, how he performs miracles, comes from who he is. What he does flows out of who he is. This morning, God invites you to do the same. To let what you do not define you. To not let what was done to you not define you. To not let the things you may do define you, or the things you want to do to define you, or the things you had to do, the things you had to endure, the voices that other people say you must be, to not let those define you. To let who God says you are define you. To hold to the promises God has given you in the waters of baptism, that you are a beloved child of God and with whom God is well pleased. Not based on anything you've done or undone or whatever, but had to endure those voices that we hear in our lives. Hear the voice of God, that God tells you, you are a beloved child of God. And God is pleased with you. And let your life flow from that. So that everything you do, the interactions you have with your family and friends and coworkers and people that you're shopping with and people on the road when it's icy, they can know that you are a beloved child of God and they are too. With whom God is well pleased. This morning, my friends, God invites you to find your identity in the waters of baptism, where we are washed and adopted and reminded that when God sees you, God doesn't see all the rest of those things that weigh us down, those things that we think about ourselves that might not be beneficial, those burdens, those struggles, those pains. When God sees you, God sees a beloved child of God and wants you to know that. And to let that be the cornerstone, the foundation of all everything else your life flows into being. So that whatever you happen to do stems from the love that God has for you, each and every one of you. That we come and are washed and are brought into a family of love, not based on what we deserve, but based on what God says about us. May you never, ever, ever, ever forget that you are a beloved child of God with whom God is well pleased. friends, will you pray with me? Dearest Lord Jesus, Father God, Spirit, help us to find our identity in you, not by what we do or have done or might do or have had done to us or what other people say about us, but in you and what you say and who you say we are, your beloved children, with whom you are well pleased. In your name we pray. Amen.